We play the Nick Saban audio for a reason. I want to get your take on Nick really rolling his assistant coaches from last year under the bus and how you felt about it.
Well, and let me make sure people understand the context. He was talking about what went wrong last year during the game, and he's never really had to explain a 28-point loss at Alabama. And he said there were distractions, and then he doubled down and said it was because of the coaches who were not focused, which is just fascinating. It's one thing to have your players looking to the NFL draft or having checked out because maybe it wasn't the perfect season, which doesn't happen very often at Alabama, but I've never heard him just unload. And as you remember, the day after the championship game, Dan Enos didn't show up at a meeting because he had taken a job in Miami. Josh Gattis went to Michigan. Loxley was going to Maryland, and there were others. So, I mean, I think it sounds good in principle, but ultimately, who's in charge of the coaches? It's Nick Saban, and it's his job to make sure they are focused or get rid of them. And I think it's now the second year in a row that Saban's coaching staff has maybe let him down a little bit. The previous year, he was unhappy with them on the recruiting trail when Kirby Smart went out and beat them in recruiting, and he made sure that he got the good recruiters, and now that didn't work. I mean, I say all this as if Alabama went 7-5. They didn't. They were 14-1. But you have to explain when you don't win the national championship at Alabama, and he did.
There were two things that struck me about Alabama. One was, and I want to get your take on this, one was it seemed like that they came in there coming off a 7-5 with the negativity instead of being positive about a 14-1 and looking down the road. The other thing was, why couldn't they just come up there, and maybe it's just my simple mind thinking this, not being naive, why couldn't they just come up there and just say, look, congratulations, Clemson outplayed us, and leave it at that?
Well, listen, Lee, I think as the week ended, that sounded like a pretty good plan. And I don't think Nick Saban quite realized how this would come off. And in some, he did a nice job of explaining his own program, but that's the problem here for Alabama. Alabama is so big that a couple of comments are going to be magnified. And by the way, he knows that. That's the biggest stage short of the national championship game, and in some ways it may even be bigger, it probably is, that he'll be on. So no one's interested in his analysis of the offensive line or the defensive backfield. They're going to hone in on that, and I think if you take Dylan Moses' comment out, it wouldn't have been that bad of a week. But when you combined what Saban's explanation was on top of Dylan Moses, it looked like a disaster. Now, having sat there in real time on the set, analyzing what Saban said, it didn't seem like it. The worst comments he made were after his big appearance. What I mean by that is when he's at the podium for 30 minutes live on television in front of all the media.
Well, I will say this, and we are talking with Paul Feinbaum. And, Paul, it was your question that really opened up the doors, because if I read correctly, you asked him, lack of preparation, was it on the players or the coaches? And that's the question that basically got him motivated, saying, no, it was on the coaches. And, of course, then you have reporters wanting to go out and talk to the assistant coaches from last year to get their reaction.
Yeah, so, I mean, to put it in context for everyone out there who didn't see it in sequence, Saban from the podium, which is a 30-minute slot that he gets, mentioned distractions as one reason why they did not play well. When he came up to sit with us on the SEC Network set, I simply asked the obvious follow-up, can you explain what you meant, or could you expound on the distractions? And in his answer, I was confused. I was sitting right there, and all I said was, coaches or players, meaning who are you throwing under the bus? And that's when he gave the coaches line that was the moment of the day in terms of catching people by surprise. And Lee, I say that because there was very little that caught anyone by surprise.
Oh, that's for sure. Paul, there was a little bit of controversy, which, of course, you were involved in, but I had to ask you when I saw this happen. The Clemson lineman And correct me if I'm wrong on this, he had made a comment that he thought Notre Dame, I guess out of context, was a better team than Alabama. He made that comment, and I think you came back, if I'm correct, and basically blasted him for the comment. Now, I got to ask you, first of all, did somebody on this set tell you to do that so you could spice things up? Because it was really not much happening up there.
What happened was Dylan Moses' comments got reported, and then Josh Simpson, who's a lineman at Clemson, responded like he did. And I was just sitting there, and television is still fairly new to me, but I kind of sensed the moment. It was late in the day, and really very little was going on. And I just simply responded to that. And, the comments are pretty well known. And what happened was Simpson responded back to me. Somebody did an article on my comments, and Simpson responded. And then Trevor Lawrence tweeted unprofessional as a shot at me, which, to me, that's fine. I don't take any of this that seriously. But it turned out to be a pretty big moment of the week. And living in ACC country, I read a little more about what they're doing up here than maybe I want to. And that the ACC writers acted like we were in a bunker down in Hoover, obsessed with what they were doing in Charlotte, which I don't believe was true. But it turned out to be the story of the week, and as you know me for many, many years, I was more than happy to participate.
Well, I know that, and I remember what you said a couple of weeks ago on our show when you'd come down to Mobile for the Larch event, that you needed somebody had to do something to instigate something, and curious.
No one had to tell me to spice it up. I could sense that you were over there on Radio Row nodding off, and so were many of your colleagues. And if I have any gift left in my career, I'm just going to try to save media days every year. That's my new goal.
I appreciate it, because no truer words were ever said. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Big Ten. Jim Harbaugh comes out with comments about Urban Meyer. Says, "Yeah, the guy's got a pretty good record, but controversy follows him." What do you make of that?
Surprisingly, I agreed with him. Jim Harbaugh told the truth. He told the truth that everywhere Urban Meyer goes and controversy follows. And that's interesting that someone tells the truth, because a year ago on this day, we were sitting here talking about Urban Meyer lying to the media. So if you're Jim Harbaugh's PR people, you might wonder, was that really the best thing to do, considering that Meyer has owned you? But Jim Harbaugh is one of the quirkiest people in college sports or any sport, and he found a way to take hold of some ownership of media days without really saying very much about his own team, and I quite frankly found it amusing.
I also found it kind of amusing that when Greg Sankey speaks, there's no reference to the Big Ten; it's about the SEC. But when Jim Delaney talked about the Big Ten, there were references to the SEC, and is this something that the Big Ten just can't get over, that they're a second citizen to the SEC?
Well, I think it has to do with the Big Ten champion failing to get to the playoffs in the last couple of years, and I think last year really got to Delaney, and he views it differently than we do. Ohio State really did not factor in. They were sixth in the final poll, and I frankly thought Georgia deserved to go in more than Ohio State. But Delaney, I'm told by friends of his, looks at it like, hey, I represent 30 to 40% of the TV viewership. How come you're not letting me in? And I think it really galled him that Notre Dame got in versus the Big Ten champion. And I just think he's going to try to change the system. Even though Jim Delaney was part of the system that created what we have. He and Mike Slive were the forerunners of the college football playoff, and he has been, since Slive left 4 years ago, the most powerful commissioner around. So I just find it funny that the guy who is the most powerful person in college athletics is complaining about the system.
We've been having this question brought up hypothetically. If there is a team in the SEC West that could knock off Alabama, and again, hypothetically, personally, I think they'll probably go undefeated during the regular season. But if there is a team, which team do you think that would be?
LSU. And I think LSU, now sometimes with LSU, you have to be careful because you listen to the hype and you listen to the conversation and talking to Joe Burrow and listening to Ed Orgeron. They're a very confident bunch. Now, they've been there before, and they can't solve the Alabama issue because the offense has been inept. Now, is it different this year with Joe Brady, the guy they brought from the Saints? I mean, it sounds better, but LSU's season is going to be determined early. When they go to Austin for the Texas game week two, if their offense sputters, then you have to keep your eye on what Orgeron does. Will he stay the course? He didn't 2 years ago with Matt Canada, and that's really going to be the crucible. If they can get past that, I think they have a very good chance of getting to Tuscaloosa in November undefeated. I still can't predict LSU to win that game, but yeah, right now we're in the next to the last week of July, so it's a little hard to know what the tone and tenor of Alabama and LSU will be in early November.
If the so-called experts, meaning people like me, are right, Alabama faces Georgia for the third straight year with something on the line like this. Is this good for college football, or would you like to see more parity?
I don't have a problem with this game, primarily because we don't see it where we haven't seen it in the regular season. We will next year. A game is on the schedule. I think Alabama and Georgia is an exciting game. It's the game. What's really remarkable, Lee, probably the two games that Alabama fans have talked about the most during the off season are two games that aren't on the schedule. It's the Georgia game in the SEC and playing Clemson again in the national championship or in the playoffs. And I think if we get to another Alabama-Clemson game, which would be, what, the fifth straight year, that's when you're going to really start hearing the national media cry. But I think within the SEC footprint, everyone knows that Georgia and Alabama is the best game of the year.
Okay, so we've got Alabama, Clemson in the Final Four. Who else do you want to put in there at this point? And that could change, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to do it today, well, which I guess I will, willingly, by the way, I would put Georgia and Michigan in. And the Michigan part is a little bit strange because of what we talked about a minute ago with Harbaugh, but I think Shea Patterson will lead them to a Big Ten championship. And short of them dropping more than one game somewhere or losing the Big Ten title, I think they're going to get in. And Georgia, I think, has a very good chance of running the table as well. And their schedule, meaning Notre Dame and A&M, as well as Florida and everything else that they play, I think would qualify them to get in. I think right now they're definitely one of the best teams going into the season.